they're going to be naming their children. But a name is inherent to a person's identity. It quite literally defines who we are. And I really think it's cool when a name has a special story or a special meaning to it, because a name, it helps tell the story of what we are all about. And I think my name is pretty cool. The name James actually has a very interesting story. Did you know that James and Jacob, they come from the same Hebrew word, actually, Yaakov. There's your fun word for the day, Yaakov. But anyway, it comes from, the word James comes from the English and the Scottish root for it, but Jacob comes from the Hebrew word and later the Greek word in our Bibles. Now, do you guys know, throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, Yaakov is always translated as Jacob, but in the New Testament, Yaakov is always translated as James? These are the things that I find fascinating, so yes. But no, but the word, the root word itself, it means to follow, it means to contend with. And my last name, it comes from the German word for church. So my name quite literally means a church that follows after or contends with something, which I think is pretty cool. But what's my name known for? Now, I've been pastor, associate pastor here for about a year and a half. I still haven't brought this up yet, but my name is James Kirk. And some of the older adults are laughing here. Yes, my parents named me after a Star Trek character. But yes, apparently when my mom and dad were trying to decide on a baby name for their new boy, they sat down and they went through an entire boy's name book, A to Z, and they closed the back cover and the only name they could agree on was James. So here we are. Then my dad, he's like, you know what, it'd be fun if it was James T. Kirk. Star Trek character's middle name is Tiberius, so my dad's like, you know what, we can make it more reverent. We could think like Titus or Timothy Kirk. That way it could be James T. Kirk. And my mom said, you're just lucky that you have the James. So here we are. It is James Alexander Kirk is my name. But this is a long-winded way of me saying that a lot goes into a person's name. If someone were to hear your name, what do you think would come to mind? James Alexander Kirk. Granted, if you hear your full name, you might think you're in trouble. I don't know. I feel that a little bit. But no, what do you hear when you hear your name? Meditate on it. What does it mean to others? What does your name mean to yourself? Now, as you meditate on your name, there's also a temptation that happens in every one of us, myself included. It is to take our name and to make it greater than it actually is. It's an ancient sin, a most trying vice. It's to make a name for ourselves, and said another way, it is the sin of pride. It's an old one, an ancient idolatry. Perhaps it most notably took place at the Old Testament story in the Tower of Babel, or Babel, depending on how you pronounce it. For those of you who don't know the story, it's the story of the first civilization after the Old Testament flood. But they gathered together, and as one people and one language, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. And before they could accomplish their great work, cementing their civilization's name in history, God confused their language and dispersed them. It's a fascinating story, all built on man's desire to make his name great and to last forever. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, well, what's necessarily the problem with that? And honestly, my goal here today is not to stand in the way of ambition. God put you here on this earth, here in time, where you are, for a reason. My concern, and why I bring it up, is about highest values. What is the highest values in your life? What are the things that ultimately become our gods? That what we look to, fear, love, and trust above all things. Put another way, what are the things that you spend the most time on, the most energy on? What defines your life? And whatever these things are, whether we realize it or not, these things often become our highest values. They often become our gods. And when you strive to make a name for yourself, you make everything ultimately about yourself. Your highest value becomes yourself. Now, for those of you who are parents, I call this a two-year-old temperament. And you guys know more about this than I ever possibly will. But yes, more than I could possibly comprehend. But the mind mentality, that is a real thing. And unfortunately, that problem, it finds a way to linger when it comes to sharing the spotlight of accomplishment, definitely for adults. Theologians or nerds like me who study the Bible, they have a term for this that's being called curved inward. Basically, you're curved inward on yourself, and all your different relationships, everyone that you meet, ends up being about you. Everything, their world revolves around themselves. But where does pride end? What ends up being sacrificed in the desire to make a name for oneself? Well, we have someone here to tell us more about it. Today we are continuing our series of our dramas on the three kings, and today we have our third and final king, Herod the Great. Let's give them a round of applause as they come up.
Herod the King, everyone.
Herod the Great.
Herod the...
Great.
Oh, so that's important to you, is it?
Indeed it is. I worked hard to achieve the fame that I had. I bent every effort.
The prideful man Herod, who would call himself great, is ultimately remembered for the great sacrifice he demanded that he used to his own advantage. Not a man that any one of us should trust. Not a name we should trust either, but there is, of course, a name we can trust. Jesus, the Lord of all creation, the Lord is salvation, the King of all that is born in a cattle stall. Names have meaning, but have you ever pondered what the name of Jesus means? Now, it wasn't an uncommon name for the time. Many different peers of Jesus, I imagine, shared the same name. But the name itself, Jesus, it's a promise. It means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves, depending on how you look at it. An angel tells Joseph in a dream to name him so. Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The promise of God conveyed on the name of his very son, the name we can look to, hope in, and trust. And when we look to him, when we speak and confess his name, we say that very promise that he is good for, that he is in fact salvation embodied. And our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he always keeps his word, he always keeps his promises. Think of every miracle he did. Now, how did he do these miracles? He simply spoke them into existence. As simply as saying someone's name, he said it so. So when our Lord, our God, says that you are saved, when his name is the living embodiment conveying that same promise, that same man who made the lame to walk, the mute to speak, the leper cleansed, the demons cast out, and even the dead to rise, trust what he says. You are saved. It's as plain as the name says. So what are we to do? Well, not make our names great, but to celebrate the one who deserves it. We live not as creators of our own prideful accomplishments, but we live as God's humble creatures. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you're a creature. And turn to the other person and say, you're also a creature. Yes, we are all creatures. We're not creators. Our purpose in life is to follow God's commands, to follow his will. And this is once again chiefly shown in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Consider our second reading for today when it says, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Bottom line, Jesus didn't care about himself. He didn't care about his name, his accomplishments, anything. Even to the point of death itself, he followed the will of his Father, which was the salvation of all people, including you and me. And God raised him from the dead, becoming the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And he promises to do the same for you. Now, how can we live as God's humble creatures? Well, as we close today, let me leave you with three things. First, always remember that your highest value is your Creator. By that, I mean that the one who made you is, in fact, the one that made you. He's the one that made the very blood in your veins. He made the air that you're breathing right now, the very ground that is underneath your feet. Let your life emulate who he is. Follow his commands and trust in him to take care of all the rest. Second, instead of living curved inward, making everything about yourselves, strive to live curved outward. Live life as if everyone you meet matters. Your spouses, your families, your neighbors, that person that's taking your coffee order on your way to church. Do your best to take the focus off of yourself and gift the focus of attention to your neighbor. Because that's what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And finally, as we think on the sins of prideful men like Herod, we ought to also think of good, humble examples for us to follow. And I honestly can't think of much better than the guy in our gospel reading for today. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, simply does not get enough credit. There are so many people's names captured in the Word of God, captured in our Bibles, some the worst like Herod, but there are a few whose names almost appear deserving. And Joseph is one of these guys. Throughout the whole account, whenever Joseph is brought up, he simply does what we should do, whatever God says. He was, at the end of the day, a humble creature. He didn't care about his name. He didn't care about what others thought of him. But this man was willing to take care of a child that wasn't his, was willing to go and flee to another country, and then step back as his son prepared to change the world. But in the same way, strive to follow what the Lord our Creator commands. Live as our Creator commands. Pay homage to the only name that matters, the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I'll remind you, if you haven't done so already,